It is so well defined. What we have to do today, we got to go to work.
We got
to
do. Hey everyone, Wade and Ryan here. NFL in London. Cobwebs are done. They're over.
New season, baby.
It's a new season. It's all starting. Apparently, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So I guess this is our season premiere.
It is, in a way. Well, I guess it's sort of the off season. Yeah, it is. We're starting. This is Jesus. How many seasons now? Season 12, probably.
Who knows?
Almost 300 episodes. But we've been putting on things since 2008 here. But look, always good news. There'll be NFL games in London this year, and Russell Wilson is out of a job. I knew this was coming. Breaking the news, man. But man, the Broncos are gonna eat a bag of doorknobs. Yeah.
$85 million in dead cap, which they can spread over the next 2 years. But I mean, wouldn't you just rather take it all this year and just be like, let's just be the worst team?
Well, yeah. I think they offered him 10 million Sierra CDs. try to liquidate those. Come on, Sierra.
It's what a disaster that whole thing is. It's going to go down. If it wasn't for the Deshaun Watson trade, it would go down as the worst trade.
Well, it still is one of the, you know, we start looking at what they got, and, you know, obviously Seattle, you know, getting rid of a few guys yesterday, but it's still quite the fleece, you know, in terms of what they got out of it, you know, the playing ability and just getting hosed in this one. You know, because the Broncos kind of went in all in on this, you know, like, we got Russell Wilson. It's like everyone else is like, I don't think that's what you want.
Well, you could kind of see it coming, but the fall off is shocking, I think, even for anybody, like, especially since they gave him that new contract, like $240 million. It was just like this huge contract. And it just felt like, remember a couple years ago when we were just like, oh man, the AFC West is going to be just an absolute. And then it just never took off. Like, he had a couple good games this year under Sean Payton. Like, he was like competent at best. Yeah. But I mean, once the legs went for Russ and he lost that kind of improv ability that he was able to do, and just he had one of the sweetest deep balls I've ever seen. And it just shows, like, if you're a quarterback that depends on, you're small and you got to kind of move out of the pocket to make your windows. Once you lose those legs, it got harder. He was not a pocket passer, and it just showed because he couldn't do anything.
No.
Some of the worst games I watched in the last couple of years were Denver Broncos games.
It's, you know what it almost felt like too, is that he lost, you know, with Brady, the competitive edge got hungrier. And it just seemed that Russ lost his. Like, he never felt like he was really, like, everything, every game was a new motivation. Everything was a new learning experience. It just felt like, I'm going to be same old Russ and do my things. And he didn't really seem to adapt or improve into a way that, you know, he was comfortable.
And it also, it's just that thing, too. It's just like, he just doesn't come off as a leader. Like, again, his teammates came off like they hated him.
Yeah.
And he was always constantly, there's always these stories, like Richard Sherman tells stories, just like, Russ isn't the guy you think he is. And it just showed that people weren't buying in to it, I guess, because he wasn't putting it up. I guess you buy into the bullshit when you're dominating and you're doing it. You're like, all right, he may be an asshole, but the guy throws touchdowns. So maybe we should listen to him.
And maybe Richard Sherman, it's about someone he can have a drink with as well. So,
yeah. And now the real question is, now it's the offseason, is that now every kind of fan base is like, oh God, please don't let us get Russ. Now it's like, where is Russ going to go? And every team's like, no, we're good. Like, I have no idea. I could see Russ not even, no one picking him up, to be honest.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I just don't see how, if you're like, do you really think you're going to fix this? I if Sean Payton couldn't get it to work, do you really think he just needs another change of scenery? Like, I know there's teams that are desperate for quarterbacks, but man, like, and then the question is, does Russ, the only way I think Russ makes himself appealing is taking a low salary, because he can then stick the bill on the Broncos, right? Because I think if he takes like $20 million, then the Broncos get let off the hook. And I don't think anyone wants that. So if you're like the Raiders, who don't really have a quarterback, to sign him for like league minimum and let the Broncos pay the rest. Little F you to them.
Now that's going to be coming down to is when, again, his ego, is Russ going to accept that? Is he going to go from, I'm a starting quarterback, to, hey, guess what? You're backing up Jason Stidham, you know, like, you know, like, how?
Now, I don't know
how because humble he's that is guy willing to go.
The stories about having his own office and just not like I don't know if he does if his ego will allow him to do that. Like he kind of saw it. Does he just kind of sit on the bench just waiting for like an injury and someone to call him? Kind of like Flacco. And just like, it's going to go to Flacco route. Just every couple of years come in, play a couple of games, get beat up, and then go back to the bench. And just like a relief pitcher, like a substitute teacher is what he'll be.
The obvious thing is sit on a pile of cash and just laugh. Or, you know, try to do what everyone else does and try to go into the broadcasting booth. No, I don't know if he has the acumen or the hosting ability of that. But, you know, those who can't are a pundit. Because to your point, he's not going to play the XFL. I can't see anyone really taking him. Who wants to take a chance? It's like, no, our coach can fix him. He's a broken toy, you know, and it's the mentality you have to fix first. It's not like someone who's hungry and willing to change, like a Joe Flacco is like, I can adapt myself. So man, I just can't see anyone really taking him. But then, you know, of course we look at free agency and we look at other quarterbacks out there. Obviously when you start looking at top, you know, Chris Jones, but then you've got Kirk Cousins. And you wonder what exactly the plan is. I mean, it doesn't seem like Minnesota is going to move on. So, you know, there's talk that Atlanta would be looking at a Kirk Cousins.
Pro Football Talk talks about Atlanta. He's looking at, I think Kirk's a bit. I think if you're Minnesota, I just don't bring him back. I don't know. I just don't think Minnesota is like a step away. Like they still got to pay, you know, they're going to have to pay Jefferson, you know, whatever, 25, 26 million a year. But then, again, if you're putting him with, you know, what was his name? Nick Mullins and stuff like that, he's not going to want to sign. So, again, but then do you want to, and then you're just the question of, you know, you got Kirk coming off. He's like a 35-year-old quarterback coming off an ACL tear.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did, his legs were part of his game, even though he's a bit older. He was always able to kind of, he was good on the run. He was good at rolling out. So, again, you're putting like you're gonna have to pay him like what 40 at least to me to pay 40 million to a guy who, let's be honest, puts up good numbers but isn't seen as like a winner. You know, he had weapons in Minnesota, that wasn't the problem. And so going to Atlanta where he has weapons, it's like okay, it's the same team, right? You have the same team. It's great, a good receiver, good tight end, good running back. He had all that in Minnesota for a couple of years. And they were still just like 9-8, 10-6. Like that one year where they won every game by 2 points, luckily. So if I'm Atlanta, I think you kind of don't really have a choice. Your chips are kind of, you have the team, so you kind of have to do it. If you have the cap space, you can maybe do like a 2 year and that's fine because then you can maybe draft someone and let them sit.
Yeah.
But again, I just don't. If I'm Minnesota, I just move on. You've done it for like 5 years; it didn't really work. So I see him moving on. I think it'll probably be Atlanta, just because I think with what I think the owner's getting decrepit, and he's going to want to win, so he's going to want that quarterback. I think after what they saw with Ridder and the potential they had, and all the turnovers and all the mistakes, I think they're going to have to go all in. Kirk Cousins.
There's going to be a few teams that are just going to have to make that. We got to go kissing Cousins. You know, whether it's Vegas, somebody that needs to get some wins this season, and Kirk's going to get you 8 wins. Is that enough in a dumpster fire division like the South, that the NFC South, that Jesus, you could use that. You know, that 8 wins will get us into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Well, that's why if you're Kirk Cousins, if you're a smart quarterback, you want to be in Atlanta because that division's kind of wide open, even though, you know, we have Mike Evans who just kind of re-signed with
begrudgingly
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was kind of surprised with that.
I was surprised, too, particularly the way they treated him last year.
No, I'm not even that. Like, he did get paid, but I think he could have got just as much on. I guess he just likes it there. Maybe there's a lot of people who don't do start and finish their career in the same place. To me, that means they must be looking to sign Baker, because I can't see Mike Evans agreeing to come back and then with no quarterback, right? Or Kyle Trask. So it looks like Baker's going to get, you know, he's going to get his 40. And who'd have thought a couple of years ago we were thinking, you know, is Baker even going to be in the league?
Johnny Manziel himself.
And again, we don't know. It's like pay Baker and see what you get. You know, he had his moments. He was really solid. He was really good. But
4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns is pretty good. I mean, you know, considering how he was able to move the chains, you know, and you know, they got all those schemed verticals. So he seemed to fit in with that. Obviously, you know, with Shaq Barrett gone and the defense is going to have some issues. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Tampa Bay can do to spread that around. But as you say, it looks like they are going to sign him, I would think. It's just going to be dollars.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I'm still Tampa Bay, I'm still not really afraid of, if I'm in the division, I'm not really afraid of Baker. I need to see him go like toe to toe with the big boys and really like put a team on his back. And I don't think we've really seen him. Like, again, he does have Mike Evans. He's had a good running game. He had a good team. But again, they were in a garbage division and won a garbage division. So
they still beat Philly in the playoffs. I mean, look at the way they played in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they beat that Philly team. Philly team was broken. Emotion, every which
way.
It's
still the playoff win, man. It's still a playoff win. I mean,
it's still a playoff win. Fair enough.
And I mean, I think the big thing is obviously the Chiefs, Chris Jones, who, you know, pretty much last few games of the season was the Chris Jones team. They're obviously going to have to work out something for him because he's 30. And then you got another guy, Christian Wilkins, as well for the Dolphins. Daniel Hunter again, Baker. Dolphins have a lot of guys.
The Dolphins are in a tricky spot because they've got rid of Xavien Howard. They let in Christian Wilkins. They just got rid of Jerod Baker, I think, is the linebacker. They're just kind of letting him go. And to me, this seems like they must be doing a Tua contract. And I mean, if they're talking like he's getting to get like 50 or something, be one of the highest paid quarterbacks. And I don't know, man.
No one to throw to and no one to back him up.
Well, it depends. You got Tyreek for another year or two, you know, maybe. But again, he's going to slow down. He gets banged up. He gets nicked up all the time. Wow. It's always kind of been a thing. So I think Miami's kind of really in a bad spot because they had all these kind of impending free agents hitting at the same time, you know. And you're also, you know, you're paying Tyreek a lot of money. You're paying Jalen Ramsey a lot of money. These are like kind of getting older guys. You're going to have to pay Tua. You got Jalen Waddle, who's going to be wanting a contract probably next year after this year. So it's like you can't get Wilkins and then Xavien Howard. It's just they're in a rough spot, especially if you're going to commit to Tua.
Yeah.
He's got to be the guy that can put you on your back and win, and he has definitely not been that guy. Like we saw what he did, especially in the cold weather. Like, he's in a division with Buffalo, New England, and New York. Like he's playing in cold weather, and we saw in that Kansas City game, couldn't even throw 10 yards.
No,
in that game.
I mean, you got Tyreek Hill's had three kids last year as well. But it does feel like, as you're saying, Miami, it's almost like, was that their year? Was this the year last year? Because it feels like you're losing. Attrition is coming. You've got a lot of guys are disappearing. And you look at the amount of free agents that they have, top guys, that a lot of other teams are like, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. You know, a lot of offensive guards, a lot of offensive players, and I think guys would want. You got other guys like Chase Young, you know, went to San Fran. But, you know, is San Fran going to be – he's only 25 this year. But is San Fran really going to – is he worth it, you know, for them with the amount that they paid? You know,
I don't see why you would do that. I think they got to focus on what they're going to do with Brandon Ayuk. That's their biggest problem. I know. And I feel like they got to give Purdy a little bit of a raise. You can't – this guy can't be playing on like $100,000 next year or whatever, like $170,000. They got to give him a little bit of money, kind of like a thank you for getting us to the Super Bowl. Bonus, I would hope.
But if I'm San Fran,
the Chase Young move was fine. It was kind of like, let's see if we can rekindle some magic in the college days. But if I'm them, Brandon Ayuk is much more valuable. But maybe they saw what they saw in that, what was his name? The guy who almost won MVP through the touchdown. Like maybe Jennings, I think his name was.
Jawan Jennings.
In the game. Yeah, so he had a big game. So maybe they're like, hey, he can step up.
Yeah,
you know, so
young guy fast. Like,
I could see Ayuk maybe getting traded.
Yeah,
so it's all very exciting. Now it's like in the next couple of weeks, it's like little drip news. Some big things are going to start happening.
Oh yeah,
as we get closer to the draft,
especially with all the franchise tagging, because now we know who the teams like, and now it's like we want this person, and you're like, okay, some of the other people are going to get jettisoned. I mean, Houston signing Schultz, their tight end, 3 years. 23.5 million, smart move. But some of the franchise tags, you know, like obviously, you know, the Colts choose Pittman, The Bears, yeah. We put Jalen Johnson just to piss him off.
Yeah, T. Higgins, you know, on the Bengals.
T. Higgins, Brian Burns, which is an interesting one for Carolina because he's sort of the big one. But then you have other guys where it's like, okay, yeah, you're free to go. I mean, Chiefs, L'Jarius Sneed. But then you sort of look, okay, well, Saquon Barkley. No, he's looking like he's going to have some free agency.
Yeah.
And where you can go, Josh Jacobs. I mean, Josh Jacobs would be a hell of an asset. And I think we're looking at another year, particularly of undervalued running backs, where the cash still won't pay, which is too bad. People are just, you know, even though the NFL has allowed them to open up the pockets of spending this year, it's still very difficult to pay for those premium running backs to get in.
I think Saquon will get money. Because I think he had a really good year. He's still got that explosiveness. I think he's talked about going to potentially Houston. Mm-hmm. And you give like Stroud and Barkley, and man, that'll be a fun team to watch.
Yeah,
if Houston. That happens. I think this is one of the more interesting free agent classes we've had in years. Like usually, like the fact that Chris Jones is going to go, whereas is Derrick Henry going to go to Dallas? You know, get that.
Yeah.
That I feel like that's a good piece. Dallas is kind of feels like. Again, they've talked about going all in. I feel like there's like a couple big trades are going to happen. There's some, you know, something big is about to go down.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
and I can't wait. I can't wait till, and then we got, what is it? Legal tampering, I think, starts in about a week or so. And now we're going to start seeing where the chips start falling, how teams are going to get better. And then we can start overhyping everyone.
Exactly. That's what we want. I mean, you also look at, I'm looking at guys free agency, Calvin Ridley. Yeah. Had a good time with the Jaguars. They're not going to franchise tag him. So, you know, they've obviously got, what's his name, Josh Allen. So it'd be interesting to see he's only 29, you know, someone like that. I mean, Calvin Ridley on the Chiefs would not be good for people, would not be good for anyone who plays, you know, because they are one wide receiver away from someone like that, from like, okay, you know, we've got our mini hill now.
Man, if I'm the Chiefs, though, I can't let Chris Jones go. Like, he literally saved them in the Buffalo game with a pressure that stopped a touchdown, and he saved them in the Super Bowl on a pressure. Like, he was just constantly making plays. And to Kevin, he's outside of Aaron Donald, he's the best defensive tackle in football. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to get paid. And I think Kansas City would be crazy to let him go.
Yeah.
And then they have L'Jarius Sneed as well. Like, again, I make those two my priorities and run it back with this same team. I don't think you necessarily need Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to want like $20 million. He's again, he's 29 years old, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about a guy who, even though like Jacksonville, who just, they were just like, and I think because the draft is so wide receiver heavy.
Yeah.
I think teams are going to just, like guys like Gabe Davis who are going to probably think, oh, here's my big payday. I think they're going to be surprised. I think teams are going to be like, you know what? I can get a guy in the second round cheap. That's just going to be just as good as paying this guy $15 million. So
yeah,
I'm interested to see what some of these receivers get, like the mid-tier ones.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it's how much money they've got to spread it around. And, of course, we've got the UFL coming this year, so a lot of teams will be looking to go up. Let's just see what some of these kids do in the summer, the spring league. That starts in a couple weeks. Obviously, for me, the big question is, obviously, the Bears. We have number one pick. But Washington, or whatever their team is named now, very saying that they would be interested in possibly trading up from 2-1. You know,
I just don't think it's going to happen. I think everyone's talking that the Bears are pretty set on taking Caleb Williams. It feels like it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. Like he's even saying nice things about Chicago. So it feels like there's.
Well, you'd kind of hoped he does. You know, like I'm not going to that cracker hole. You're like, okay.
The one thing I'm interested to see about him, and I think he might, is he might hold out. I can see him holding out for more money. I think see him being like, because again, the rookie scale, you can't really go nuts on it because it's not like the old days where you're the rookie and the highest paid player in the league, which is crazy. So I don't think he has much to leverage to work with, but I'm interested to see how this happened with the draft. I haven't really gotten into draft mode yet. I got to wait till like April. It's still too far away.
It's still too far for you, is it? Yeah. Well, I like looking at it. We got the number one pick as a Bears fan. I'm looking ahead.
And like the combine was on, and I can't watch the combine. My wife said, "What are you doing? I'm watching grown men stretch, honey."
Yeah.
I can't go to. I can't fix the bathroom.
Tell her it's a new season of Below Deck.
Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. is doing his three cone. Okay. Yeah. The kids are going to have to wait.
You don't understand. John Ross just lost his title, and that's the only thing he had.
Again, see, again, he had the fastest time. And to me, that's always like a weird stay away. Because the guy who always runs the fastest, I don't think it's ever been a big hit. No. Really, there's not many. I think when you look down the list, it's always like, okay, never, no one, that guy's, and people just salivate. Like the Raiders were always like the team, like, no, who's going to take this guy? And so, yeah, I'm intrigued to see who's going to take this guy. Who's
like
going
to
get
excited
about
that speed? People trying to take Usain Bolt, they can't catch a ball. It's like, yeah, he's the fastest, but he can't catch anything.
Yeah, but he also, like, he ran the, when he did the same 40 time, he did it like jogging pants and like flip flops.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So,
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, with the combine. A lot of people are now starting to opt out of the combine because, you know, obviously they don't want to put too much detail out there. Or I guess it's the risk of exposing yourself too much, where people see too much and go, actually, no, he's a bust. So where's that sort of balance, I think, for a lot of them?
I think it only works if you know you're like a surefire top 10.
Marvin
like
Harrison Jr. Harris,
right? Marvin Harrison, no matter what he does, is going in the top five. Like, it doesn't matter what he does. Like, if he shows up, he doesn't. He could give everyone, he could just flip everyone off, and I still think he'd go top five. Like he's such a can't miss prospect. But for, you know, mid level guys, the combine's huge.
Yeah.
For pretty much anyone outside the top 10, the combine's huge.
Yeah, it's a good chance to showcase yourselves. It's also great for Indianapolis to have some tourism dollars in February. but obviously, it's going to be very exciting this year because the NFL draft is in Detroit this year. Which
How is it?
Yeah, it's in Detroit. I might actually go to it. I'm thinking about it. Head down there. It's not too far from our home base in Canada, but lots of exciting stuff. But I mean, folks, that's it for this podcast. Ryan and I are going to keep in touch, obviously.
Yeah, a little. As the news trickles down.
We're back. The cobwebs are off. We've shaken off the past season. The Chiefs win last year. They're probably going to win again this year. But until then, we'll have all the NFL
news. Hope will prevail until then.
Yes, and hope left town a long time ago for a lot of teams, but hopefully you still have a little bit. Folks, thanks for listening. That's it for this podcast this week.